You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
I am Robin Crawford, and I am the only one in the room standing up against Amazon. I'm a Black woman. To hide books written by people of color is such a disservice to my own community. These voices need to be heard. These stories need to be told. And I'm an ally of the LGBTQ community. And I want their stories to be told because love is love. And I think we need to get back to that point where we do recognize, again, the power of love. And these stories certainly do have that impact. And that's what these stories focus on. It's just truth.
I'm probably one of the few people I know who still looks forward to my Sunday newspaper. Not a digital copy that I read on my phone, but the real finger-staining, loud crinkling, section-by-section newspaper. The Sunday paper for me is a treat to be enjoyed while lounging in bed and sipping hot lemon water. So one day when we were going through all of the Only One stories that are being submitted to us, thank you for those, by the way. We love reading them. It was Scott's idea to record and release a few of them occasionally, but always on Sundays, and call them our Sunday edition. And because they're only 30 minutes long, our hope is that you can enjoy them while sipping your morning beverage, going for a walk, or even just enjoying a lazy Sunday at home. Please enjoy today's Sunday edition, and be sure to listen every Thursday for a new installment of our Now Normal series. And of course, every Tuesday, when we drop another brand new episode of The Only One in the Room. Robin Crawford, I'm so glad you're here. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And thank you for having me. This is such a wonderful opportunity.
Yes, and well, we have to thank LaKay Cornell for that too, because she put us together. So huge shout out to her.
Absolutely.
Robin, I want to ask you, when is the first time that you realized you could escape into a book?
Oh, I was a child. I have older siblings and I have parents who are just profound believers in storytelling and reading and would read to me all the time. You know, my mom would read out of the newspaper in sort of a sing-song voice, you know, 5,000 people died today. You know, when I was like 3 or 4. But having older siblings meant that they were in school ahead of me and they would come home and share their homework and read to me. And my grandmother would sit and read with me out of her prayer book. Mm. And so it was very young for me when I realized the power of stories and how easy it is to leave reality in a book.
Wow.
So I was quite young. You know, I would have to say really 5 or 6 when I was reading more on my own. Mm-hmm. But for as long as I can remember, I've always at least been read to.
Same here. My mother read to me from Dostoevsky and Gogol when I was a baby. And
wow.
Because she was in college. She was 19.
Oh, my goodness.
And she was reading those books. So she read them to me as my bedtime stories.
Read what you have available. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, more age appropriate books came along later, but she always read to me what she was reading as well, and it was always fascinating to me. I escaped into books very early in my life, and I still do. I still do. So thank you for that. I am Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is the Only One in the Room special Sunday edition, but I am never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Hey, honey. So today, honey, we're talking about romance novels.
Oh, right on.
You know anything about them?
I watch people read them a lot.
Well, they are big business.
I know.
According to the Romance Writers of America, the romance fiction industry is worth over $1.8 billion a year.
That's billion.
Can you give me like one of those whistles? Yeah. Which makes it about a third larger than the inspirational book industry and about the size of the mystery novel genre and the science fiction fantasy genres combined.
Get out.
Right? Mm-hmm. But if you look up some of the top-selling romance novel authors, you'll probably find a long list of mostly white women. Not all, but mostly. But if you pick up a romance novel at the airport or your local bookstore, you'll most likely find that there's a young, cis-hetero, blonde-haired, blue-eyed heroine. But things are changing. And that's why I'm so excited about today's guest, Robin Crawford.
Thank you.
Yes. Hey,
welcome to the show, Robin.
Robin Crawford launched Eden Books in March 2019. So really recently, after one of her favorite authors had her book banned from Amazon for content. Robin soon discovered that other books were being banned for content, and they were often by other people of color or queer people. So again, welcome Robin to the show. Really excited to have you. This is, as soon as I heard about what you were doing and who you were, I was like, we have to get this woman on the show. And I really bugged out LaKay to get me connected with you. So I want to just start by talking about memoir and fiction authors versus romance writers. And I have that writers in quotation marks. Often you'll hear about romance writers and not even the word author attached to it. Why is there a stigma around romance?
I think the stigma started, you know, centuries ago when it became a genre of writing by women seeking out and dreaming about a better life and maybe a different class structure, or stories written from women in higher class structures that depicted their everyday that women in lower class struggle classes wanted, and they wanted to understand and know what was happening. But, you know, often it was very frivolous things that were being written about, and the ideals of love, certainly in the 18th century, we weren't marrying for love. We weren't partnering up for love. We were partnering up as a business. And so I think this notion of love in these stories just became very nonsensical and frivolous to men, you know. So we're dealing with the patriarchy for a very long time. Fast forward to the 1970s and Harlequin with their bodice rippers, which were immensely popular. But
yes,
again, it often depicted women as being weak and weak-minded and uncertain of what it was that they wanted. You know, these are the books that depicted women as saying no, 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 but while really shaking their heads, yes, yes, yes.
Right,
and, and I think that ended up adding to this belief of these books just being poorly written and not representative of where women were and certainly where women are today in our society. So I think the stigma has stuck. And again, this notion of love. Love is the most powerful emotion, and it certainly led us to wars. And yet it's the one emotion that is still sort of frowned upon. So I think it's a combination, but we've certainly been battling it for, you know, well over 200 years.
Wow.
Jane Austen would probably have a few things to say.
Right. And Jane Austen is considered to be a romance author.
She is.
Yes.
Yes, we often think of her as being the first.
And romance has also been referred to as like mommy porn or dirty books or erotica. What do you think about those titles for romance novels?
I personally am not a fan of the term mommy porn or smut.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these are books that it's such a large, immense genre, and there is such a mix and a diverse amount of subject matter in romance.
Mm-hmm.
And sex in a romance book is there. You can find it, but sex doesn't make a romance book. What makes romance is the idea of the connection between the protagonists, their ability to work through obstacles, to find a life that they can make together mm-hmm. and be happy in. So to use the words, you know, mommy porn or smut to describe romance is not even really fully encompassing the genre. There's right. so much more to us. And I also think that this is 2020, almost 2021. There's no reason we should be shaming books that do show and empower women on their sexual health. I think this is
yes.
a conversation we should be having more of.
I completely agree. Thank you for that.
This episode's being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, hon, I finally ordered my Voyage AC gift boxes for the holidays.
Is that right? What did you get, hon?
Well, for Chloe and Ellie, I got the candle and perfume set, and I got the wellness gift box set for my mom.
Wait, I thought they were all the same. How many different ones are there?
Almost as many as you want, because you can mix and match. Plus, they are stunning. You almost don't want to open them.
Oh, but you probably have to go into the store to get it, right?
Well, I did, but you can just as easily order them online. Just look under kits in the pull-down menu.
Well, maybe I should order mine now.
The sooner the better, hon. And remember, these aren't factory-made products. Every candle is hand-poured. Every perfume is made by...
Melanie Apple.
Yes, Melanie Apple. So if you haven't started your holiday shopping yet, don't worry. You can take care of everyone on your list at Voyage AC.
I love one-stop shopping.
Me too, honey. And Voyage AC has absolutely everything you need. Amazing gifts, gorgeous face and body products, faux fur throws, diffusers, clutches, beach bags, clothes, and of course, these gorgeous mix and match gift boxes. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VOYAGEETCIE.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount right now to all of our listeners. That's 10% off everything you buy, even through the holidays.
All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
How old were you when you fell in love with romance?
I was pretty late to the game. I was in my mid-20s when I was actually introduced to romance.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Chelsea, she's one of my dearest friends.
Shout out to Chelsea.
Shout out to Chelsea. And I remember Chelsea telling me, hey, you really need to read this series called The Black Dagger Brotherhood by J.R. Ward. and paranormal romance, very, very sexy times, super steamy, and they hooked me. they absolutely hooked me. So I was probably 25, 26, I'd say.
Okay.
And I kind of just stuck with the genre. And prior to that, you know, that's pretty big in mostly gore, Stephen King.
Mm-hmm. The horror genre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, a great number of classical literature I would reread countless times. So, and I was one of those that thought romance was full of fluff and stuff.
Okay.
So I did avoid it until my friend said, no, you've got to read these. These are different.
You had contempt prior to investigation.
I did.
Yeah.
You know, I made assumptions I think so many people do.
So many people. So I know, because you and I had this conversation, that romance novels have served an amazing purpose in your life, a healing purpose. Can you just talk about that? Because you were in a car accident, right?
Yeah. So it really started in 2010 when my father passed away very unexpectedly. I found myself really falling into reading, in particular romance, because I just needed something that would give me a moment of happy in a very dark time.
Mm-hmm.
As I was healing through the loss of my father a few years later, 2015, I was in a pretty serious car accident. And I went from being able to run and lift weights as a way of keeping the homicidal tendencies at bay to being told that I needed to really reduce my activity until I was healed, and I was devastated. And so I turned to reading again, reading romance.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it just changed everything for me. I was connected into a reading community I didn't know existed. And I found incredible authors and books that were telling stories that were my stories in many ways, and characters who had the same emotional upheaval that I was going through or have been through. And so I could connect with them. And I'm so grateful for these books and these authors.
That's amazing. I love that that was a way for you to heal without traditional ways of therapies or medication or anything like that. Just being able to disappear into a book and find what you needed is really beautiful, I think, especially at a time when you couldn't do too much else, you know?
You know, I remember just wanting to stay in bed and let the world swallow me whole. And yet I was able to step into another world, and it did swallow me whole for, you know, 3 or 4 hours at a time.
Yeah.
And I would come out of that feeling lifted and lighthearted and hopeful. And I think that for me was what was so amazing. I was feeling hope at points in my life when I didn't think that was going to be possible.
Right.
And that's just out of the power of storytelling. And I'm just so, so grateful for that.
You started Eden because one of your favorite authors were banned from Amazon. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So can you tell me about that?
Just incredible, talented, creative, prolific author named Christy Webster.
Mm-hmm.
Christy writes in various genres of romance. She took a chance and wrote a book called The Wild and published it August 2017 on Amazon. And either because of readers complaining or other authors complaining, I can't tell you for certain, but it was brought to Amazon's attention that the content was such that readers thought perhaps this book shouldn't be made available. And Amazon just said, okay, sure. And they just took it down. You know, Amazon is the most powerful online book retailer in the world. And so they have the ability to make or break the livelihood. And by taking a book off of its platform, well within its rights to do so, it really hurt this author, and it outraged a number of readers, including myself.
Why did they find the content offensive?
At the heart of the story is a pseudo-incestuous relationship, which, you know, I get it. It makes people a little uneasy, uncomfortable. But we have books and other genres available right now, this very minute, on Amazon. But those books are written by men.
I would say, hello, Game of Thrones, right? Game of Thrones. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not even a pseudo-incestuous relationship.
No, it's just a straight up. Yes.
And so when you're talking about books like that, but those, again, those are books written by George Martin, read very predominantly on a heavier male readership, it felt very much like an attack on not just romance, but to me, it became a bit more personal. And I felt like as a woman, I had this platform and its algorithms and its bots telling me, no, no, little girl, you can't read that. And I was so profoundly upset by that because I thought, I can't think of a book that I haven't been allowed to read. I can't think of a book that I would bring into my home as a child where my parents would have said, no, no, you can't read that. We may have had a discussion about the content if there was concern, but I wouldn't have been stopped from reading that. And it felt like I was being parented
by Amazon.
By Amazon.
Yeah. Which is very strange visual there.
Right.
Was she bi POC or queer, this author?
She is not. She is cisgendered, heterosexual white woman from the South. But she took a chance and she did something that she wasn't even sure about doing, but she took a chance. And the story has resonated with thousands of readers at this point.
Right.
And somebody, though, had to be the first to try it and get bumped off, I guess. And I'm sorry that it was her, but it did start my journey with Eden.
Yes.
And started me thinking that maybe there was a better way.
Also, didn't you find that more queer authors and bi POC authors that were being targeted in this way or being banned in this way?
Well, definitely being targeted, you know, in terms of Amazon is rely so heavily on their algorithms that, you know, if a book isn't selling, you're just never going to see it on Amazon. And so what we're finding is with our authors of color and in the LGBTQ community, these books are not getting the same airtime. So authors are feeling, as you can imagine, pretty frustrated, you know, and author careers are ending because they're putting their books on this platform, thinking and hoping if they do all of the right things, they are going to be given equal play. And the reality is they're just not. Whether that's from the readership base, I don't know. But I do know that these platforms are not supporting diverse voices and storytelling.
Yes.
And that's a real issue.
So you got angry. When we talked, you called it your Norma Rae moment. So I've been angry about things before. Scott's been angry about things that we've read or we've seen, but we don't always take action and create a whole nother platform for whatever it is that we feel is being marginalized or not seen or valued. What made you go from anger to creating Eden Press? In under a year, I might add. You created it in under a year, right?
Okay. In under a year, yeah. For me, it was ultimately the conversations authors were having with one another in a group that I was allowed into on Facebook called Alessandra Torre's Inkers Group. And it was just this continuation of Amazon closing accounts, Amazon banning more books. They basically buried the erotica category. And I will say that erotic romance is very popular, and yet it's getting harder to really find on Amazon. We now refer to it as being put in the dungeon on Amazon. You know, you have authors who are just saying, look, if I can't sell my books, I can't feed my family. And that hit home. That hit home for me in a way that I don't think I even expected. They weren't begging people to start buying their books. They were just saying, guys, I don't know what else to do. My career is coming to an end.
Yeah,
I have to figure out plan B. And I just thought, no, no, write, be creative, do this because this is what you're meant to do. Let me help you. And so I just got to work. I let that anger really motivate me and move me forward. But I really just got to work.
Yeah, you did. You did. And you created this so quickly. You actually launched Eden around the same time we launched the podcast.
Really?
Yeah, we launched in April of 2019.
It was a good year.
It was a good year. Especially juxtaposed to this one that we're in now.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my goodness.
I usually ask people how they identify at the top of the podcast. I forgot to ask you. Would you mind telling us how you identify?
Sure. I identify as a cisgendered, heterosexual, Black woman.
Perfect. You also write romance, do you not?
No.
You have like a blog though or something, right?
I did. Yeah. For a while, I was a romance blogger. So
okay. Yes.
Just basically critiqued and reviewed. Yeah.
Right.
Reviewed their books, but I don't have the courage. Yeah. And that's really what I feel like, you know, these authors are so courageous. Mm. I don't have the courage to let my writing be published at this point. So
yeah. I understand
maybe
that.
One day.
Yeah. It's very brave. You know, you've actually inspired me to start checking out romance. First of all, your site is beautiful and you can really, it's sorting through a library. And you can go through all these gorgeous books, you know, to go on without knowing that you started it as a result of being angry at Amazon. You would just think it's this lovely, lush library of all these beautiful books. But knowing that people find a home in your press that maybe either wouldn't be able to find a home or wouldn't get put on that main page like yours, I'm sure it's a thrill, right, for some of these authors who were in the dungeon at Amazon to suddenly be front and center on Eden. Is that correct?
There is definitely an appreciation. I have to say the authors who are using the platform are just really appreciative of a number of things, but especially our marginalized authors, because right on our homepage, you're seeing books written by them. We're not hiding them. I'm a Black woman. to hide books written by people of color is such a disservice to my own community.
Yes.
These voices need to be heard. These stories need to be told. Mm-hmm. And I'm an ally of the LGBTQ community.
Right.
And I want their stories to be told because love is love. And I think we need to get back to that point where we do recognize, again, the power of love.
Stories
certainly do have that impact and help people to recognize that there is nothing at all wrong with, you know, gay love or lesbian love or transgendered love. And that ultimately their love really starts from love of self, which is a heterosexual woman I really struggle with. But to have the courage to come out and to be public with who you are, that's such an act of love. And that's what these stories focus on. It's just truth.
Beautiful. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions before we close. I was kind of fascinated by, we talked about men in the romance industry, and you said that there was, do I have this right, a bromance book club?
Yes. So there's a wonderful book series, the Bromance Book Club.
Okay.
It's written by a woman, but it really does tell the story of the characters are hockey players, professional hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells their stories of their struggles with the women in their lives and how reading romance books helped them to not only understand how to sort of woo these women, but to be better communicators with the women in their lives and how to talk to them openly, but how to listen to them openly without this need of solving and fixing every problem that comes along, right?
Yeah.
And it's just such a lovely, lovely book series. I believe the author is Lisa K. Adams, but please don't quote me on that. It's going off
we'll find
right
out.
Now.
We'll find out. Yeah.
But yeah, the Bromance Book Club, and I just love them. I think she was genius for telling these stories because the reality is we are seeing more men partners you know, women who read romance, who are now reading along with their wives and partners, girlfriends.
Yeah.
And we are definitely seeing an uptick in our gay romance. And so whether, you know, that's being read strictly by gay men, I can't say, but I can tell you that heterosexual women, we love our gay romance.
Yes. I was just talking to somebody who said that, which I think is just so great. And honey, you should get the Bromance Book Club for all your guys this holiday season.
I'm on Amazon right now.
All of them.
You got to go on to Robin's site.
I know. Yeah. I'm kidding. It was a joke.
Yeah,
Robin, I'm headed to Eden.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I wish I had these books on my site right now. They're not available through me, but they are through, I believe, other retailers, Apple, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. So some other retailers who could, larger retailers, but they could definitely use the support.
A great gift for the man in your life. Mm-hmm.
And,
right?
And it was Lisa K. Adams who was the author
and
of
she's
the
just,
romance book.
Thank
she's
you, honey.
Just wonderful. And one. So I hope you enjoy, and I hope you find them to be as fun as many of the readers so far have.
Oh, that's so great. Okay, so last couple questions. For someone who's never read a romance book before, what would you say is the book you cannot miss? Like, if you have to read any, this is the one or this is the series that they should read.
Oh, that is such a good question. I have two authors in mind that I think without question. The first one is Serena White Bowen. She is an author out of Vermont, and so her stories take place up in the northeast area of the U.S.
Nice.
And she has a series called the True North series with one of my probably favorite all-time male protagonists, Grumpy Griff Shipley. He is an apple farmer, and he ends up making hard apple cider, which is my absolute favorite go-to.
Mm.
And it's just such a lovely series that really deals with diverse voices and different topics that we can all kind of focus on.
Nice.
The other author, and I have to just preface by saying this, both these authors are not currently on Eden. They're kind of my unicorn authors, if you will, and I'm hopeful that one day I will snag them and get their books on the Eden platform. But the other author is a woman named Amy Harmon. She just writes some of the greatest epic love stories I have had the pleasure of reading. One book in particular, I'm not going to lie, it was a very difficult book for me to get through, but so satisfying and so worth it. And I think probably the best representation of romance that I've personally read. And it's called From Sand and Ash.
Mm.
And it takes place in Nazi-occupied Italy. And it is the love story between a young Catholic priest and a young violinist who is a Jewess, and how they deal with the fact that, you know, there is Hitler and Germany and the Nazis and everything that it entailed at the time.
And the church.
And the church. And the role that the church played in helping some of the Jews escape Hitler.
Ah.
Just thinking about it gets me a little emotional. It is just
really,
truly, I think, one of the greatest romance, not just romance. Let me back that up. One of the greatest books written, and it was written within the last couple of years, just astoundingly wonderful. And it's the book that I highly recommend to anyone who is interested in getting an idea of what romance writers are producing today and the power of their stories.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for that. One last question, because I wanted to just get one book from Eden that when people listen to this and go onto your site, what are you going to highlight for us today? What one book would you highlight?
Without question, it's Christy Webster's The Wild, and the sequel to The Wild, which is called The Free. You know, again, Christy is sort of my muse and she's my inspiration.
Right. She's the one that started it all.
She's the one that started it all. And she's the reason that I'm sort of taking this stand against Amazon to say enough is enough. We can make our own choices. So we got to read them.
I will definitely be getting both those books from Eden, because Scotty and I are actually going to go away during the pandemic. We're going to go away for a little week off, and I'm going to take a couple books from your press.
Good for you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Where can people find you, Robin?
So Eden Books is simple enough to find. We're just edenbooks.org. That's EDNBOKS.org. And hopefully they'll find some, you know, books that they love and they resonate with, and they'll keep coming back and recommend us to everybody.
Well, and it's a double win, because not only are they supporting a press that supports people who may not have been highlighted on other platforms, but they're supporting a Black female entrepreneur who started this press. So there's nothing but good by buying something from Eden. You know?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. We are a platform in the business of supporting other women in business. And you know, the majority of romance authors are women. And the majority of what we sell are books written by these women, incredibly talented women. And so we are a business about truly supporting other women. And I think that's hopefully a factor that many people will want to continue to support.
Yes. Are you on social media at all?
I am. Eden is. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I just started to venture into TikTok. So we do have an Eden account on TikTok, but
great.
I find myself more wrapped up in watching the videos than making any. So yeah.
It's easy to do.
Yes.
You're at Eden Press on Instagram?
Eden Books US.
Eden Books US. Okay, yes. Great. Well, Robin, this has been so educational and wonderful. And I feel like we could have definitely talked to you longer, but this is a really good start for me because now I know where to start with my romance education and I'll report back in.
Oh, please do. Yeah. I'm so excited to hear what you think.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Robin. That was wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Be sure not to miss our weekly full episodes and Scott Talks each Tuesday by subscribing to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Join our Only One in the Room Facebook group if you'd like to ask a question of any of our upcoming guests for this series. All of us at The Only One in the Room wish you safety and wellness during this challenging time, and we'll see you next week.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.